Unstoppable Sound Agency. Welcome to this edition of Move to Amend Reports, where we connect you with activists and organizers working on the front lines of the democracy movement to bring you the lowdown on corporate rule, corporate personhood, and money as speech. This is a space to find info you need to help pass the We the People Amendment and legalize democracy. I'm Egberto Willis, and
I'm Laura Bonham. We've got a good show ahead, folks. Today, we'll be having a conversation about the movement for immigrant rights, the current immigration and deportation rates, and the intersections between immigration rights and democracy with Amber Pinto of United We Dream, the largest immigrant youth-led organization in the United States, organizing and advocating for the dignity and fair treatment of immigrant youth and families. We'll kick things off with the news from the Movement to Amend the Constitution in the weekly report with Move to Amend National Director Caitlin Soposi-Belknap.
Howdy, folks. This is Caitlin Soposi-Belknap, National Director of Move to Amend, bringing you the Most of the Time weekly grassroots roundup, where we share the news and announcements from Move to Amend's national headquarters in Sacramento, California. Our interns work with us from all over the country, and this past week we welcomed a new cohort who will be part of our team through mid-December. Welcome Aaron Gibbons of Kentucky, Emma DeFrancesco in Arizona, Garrett Jennings in Tennessee, Feruz Lama in Florida, Estelle Reynoso in California, and Godfrey Shriver in Maryland. To learn more about this great group of rabble-rousers, go to movetoamend.org/intern-team. I'm pleased to announce that we have added some new co-sponsors to House Joint Resolution 48, the We the People Amendment, introduced in the House of Representatives. A shout out to John Conyers from Michigan, Beto O'Rourke from Texas, Mark DeSalnier from California, and Ted Liu, also from California, for being our newest co-sponsors. This brings our total to 21. Other co-sponsors are Rick Nolan, Minnesota, Mark Pocan, Wisconsin, Matt Cartwright, Pennsylvania, Jared Huffman, California, Keith Ellison, Minnesota, Rahul Grijalva, Arizona, Earl Blumenauer, Oregon, Peter DeFazio, Oregon, Luis Slaughter, New York, Betty McCollum, Minnesota, Mark Tacano, California, Barbara Lee, California, Danny Davis, Illinois, Walter Jones, North Carolina, Earl Perlmutter, Oregon, Marcy Kaptur, Ohio, and Jim McDermott, Washington. If your House representative isn't on the list, let them know that they need to be. Go to movetoamend.org/pledge-amend and follow the link to send them a message or call their office and tell them to co-sponsor HJR 48. Our Move to Amend affiliates have done great work to lobby and sway these courageous House members to step forward. And don't let your representatives off the hook. Let them know today that we want to see their name on House Joint Resolution 48, the We the People Amendment. A big way that you can help is to participate in We the People Lobby Week during the August recess when federal representatives are in their home districts. August 15th through 19th, Move to Amend volunteers will be meeting with federal representatives to urge them to sign on to House Joint Resolution 48, the We the People Amendment, and encouraging senators to introduce a matching bill next year. Our goal is 25 co-sponsors for the We the People Amendment before the end of 2016. Help us get there by organizing a meeting with your representative. Find more information at movetoamend.org/lobby-week. Now that the fall election season is upon us, our pledge to amend is heating up. Our volunteers are targeting candidates for federal, state, and local office to ask them to pledge to use their office to support the We the People Amendment. You can learn all about our 2016 Pledge to Amend campaign by visiting the Pledge to Amend campaign page at movetoamend.org/pledge-amend and by watching our June webinar, which can be found at movetoamend.org/toolkit/webinars. After a longer than usual process, SB 254, the Overturned Citizens United Act, which says that corporations aren't people and money isn't speech, is now Proposition 59 and will be before the California voters in November. We have spent more than 2 years campaigning for this ballot measure. First, our initiative coalition succeeded in getting the measure passed through the state legislature to put it on the ballot. But then the California Supreme Court took the unprecedented step of removing the original measure from the 2014 ballot. In the end, the court decided that the citizens of California do have a right to vote to amend, and we reorganized to get it passed through the state legislature once again to put it on the ballot for this November. Move to Amend affiliates in California will be actively campaigning to get out the vote from now through November, and we'll be hosting an August workshop for California volunteers interested in helping out. If you live in California and would like to help spread the word, you can find more details and information for the local group nearest you by going to movetoamend.org/California. Move to Amend will be barnstorming in Washington State this August. Our outreach director, David Cobb, and national team member, Ruthie Engelke, will spread the word about the American creation myth and help local folks understand how they can work to abolish corporate personhood and establish a government of, by, and for the people. For more information on dates and locations, check our website. For details, movetoamend.org/Washington. If you live elsewhere and want to bring a speaker to your town, email us at barnstorming@movetoamend.org to get started. Big congratulations goes out to Move to Amend volunteers in Shaker Heights, Ohio, and Cleveland, Ohio, for collecting enough signatures to put Move to Amend resolutions on the ballot in both cities this November. If you live in Ohio and want to help get involved in these campaigns, you can find more information at movetoamend.org/Ohio. Each year, educational institutions that receive federal funding must provide programming on the U.S. Constitution around September 16th, which is Constitution Day. This gives Move to Amend an opportunity to get into schools and make connections with educators, administrators, and students. We encourage Move to Amend supporters and our local affiliates to reach out to their contacts in schools, as well as make new contacts with local educators to provide materials or to present materials to students yourself. We'll be working with teachers across the country to help students understand how people's rights are trumped when corporations are able to claim constitutional rights. To find out more, you can go to movetoamend.org/constitution-day-2016. Again, that's movetoamend.org/constitution-day-2016. Several organizations have endorsed Move to Amend recently, and we want to welcome the Iowa Sierra Club, the Main Street Alliance in Seattle, Washington, and the St. Christopher's Episcopal Church in Roseville, Minnesota, to name a few of the newest organizations to officially join the Movement to Amend. See the full list at movetoamend.org/organizations. Whew, that's our report for the week. If you'd like more information or would like to speak with someone on our team at the Move to Amend National Headquarters, drop us a line at info@movetoamend.org or call our new number at the Sacramento office, 916-318-8040. This has been Caitlin with the Weekly Grassroots Roundup Report. I'm signing off, but I'll talk to you again soon.
Coming up next, we have a conversation with United We Dream's Amber Pinto about the immigration rights movement, immigration and deportation rights, and its intersections with the democracy movement. We'll get the ball rolling after a quick public service announcement.
To learn more about corporate personhood, money as protected political speech, and how to get involved with Move to Amend, visit movetoamend.org. Don't forget to sign the petition and join over 400,000 people supporting the We the People Amendment at movetoamend.org/motion. You can also text the word sign to 707-656-4019.
You're listening to Move to Amend Reports, where we bring you the voices from the movement to amend the Constitution and abolish corporate rule.
Today, we'll be having a conversation about the movement for immigrant rights, the current immigration and deportation rates, and the intersections between immigration rights and democracy. Joining us on the program is Ambar Pinto from United We Dream, the largest immigrant youth-led organization in the United States, organizing and advocating for the dignity and fair treatment of immigrant youth and their families, regardless of their immigration status. Ambar Pinto, 22, was born in Cochabamba, Bolivia, to a Mexican mother and a Bolivian father. She moved to the U.S. at the age of 12 and has since lived in Northern Virginia. Being aware of her undocumented status and knowing things would be difficult, Ambar enrolled in the EduFuturo leadership program, where she was able to talk about her status for the first time and then served this organization's board for 6 years. In 2012, Ambar became a co-founder of the Dreamers of Virginia, DOV, and has been working to achieve higher education for all undocumented youth in that state. DOV advocated for a partial victory in April of 2015 when the Attorney General Mark Herring declared that undocumented youth with DACA, DACA, would be able to get in-state tuition rates. Ambar is passionate about defending people's rights, especially those who are victims of an unjust and racist immigration system. She joined UWD's Deportation Defense Program in 2015 and led Dreamers of Virginia to have their first action to end the 287G program in Prince William County. Ambar is currently completing her Associate's in Business Administration at Northern Virginia Community College. She plans to transfer to George Mason University to obtain a Bachelor's in Business and then one day own a business or law firm herself. Welcome to the show, Ambar. It's great to talk with you again.
No, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
It is our pleasure, Ambar. For our folks just tuning in, we first met Ambar at the Move to Amend National Leadership Summit last May when she was featured in a panel discussion with two other inspiring women, Jacqueline Patterson and Elsa LeCue, on building relationships across issues and movements. We invited Ambar to be with us on Move to Amend Reports because we very much want to build these relationships so we can create a genuine democracy that works for all human beings, not just corporate interests. That's our motto. We, of course, were familiar with the organization United We Dream and its work, which is why we asked you to speak at our summit, Ambar. So please tell our listeners about United We Dream and how you got involved with that particular movement.
Of course, and thank you. United We Dream is the largest immigrant youth-led community in the country. We create welcoming spaces for young people, regardless of their immigration status. And this is to support, engage, and empower them to make their voices be heard and win. We have an online reach of over 2 million people with more than 120,000 members, as well as 55 local groups across the nation. UWD is made up of fearless youth fighting to improve the lives of our members and their families. And it's our vision to have a society which celebrates our diversity and believes in a multi-ethnic intersectional path for getting there. And so one of those affiliates is Dreamers of Virginia. We do United We Dream this. It's work within four different initiatives, one of them being QIP, which is Queer Undocumented Immigrant Project, that is focused on the LGBTQ rights. Then we have a program DEEP with this education equality for undocumented students on the Dream, which implements our victories, and Deportation Defense that fights to end all deportations.
Excellent. Now, tell me a little bit about this thing called the We Can't Wait campaign. What is this all about?
The We Can't Wait campaign was part of a four-year strategy to stop deportation. In 2010, probably you remember when the community was talking about the DREAM Act, this legislative relief for students, right? And we lost by 5 votes, and we had to face a choice. Having a Republican Congress, we had only 2 choices to make, right? One was whether do we push for another legislation, or do we ask the president to use his power and do things that he can legally do, which is not deport us. So we made a strategic decision to pressure President Obama to stop deporting Dreamers. And then after 2 years of the campaign, we won Deferred Action for Childhood Arrival in 2012, which is DACA, right? And then we set our sights on protecting parents with the We Can't Wait campaign and won a policy change in 2014. right-wing politicians blocked the 2014 program, which is known as DACA expansion and DAPA, which would have benefited my parents from the beginning. But 2012 program is still alive and well. I just wanted to make that clear. And in fact, it has protected over 700,000 young people, and I'm one of them.
Well, first, I want to congratulate you on your great website. So listeners, please check it out, unitedwedream.org, because it's really well organized, and it clearly exists to encourage solidarity and provide resources and assistance to undocumented youth and their families in the U.S. I'm impressed by the number of fronts on which you're fighting. The undocumented community is under massive assault, much like the Black community, but in other insidious ways. And one of those ways is through deportation, the focus of your work. Tell us about the deportation process as seen through your eyes and exactly what your work entails.
Absolutely, and I'm really glad you framed the question this way. We see the struggle we're facing with deportations as a racial justice struggle. We have Black and brown people being targeted by law enforcement because of the communities they're part of. Let me give you an example real quick of a case that I had to personally work with, and that you can find a video of this recording on our website or in our Facebook page and social media platforms. So we had this father who was at his house minding his own business, just like a normal day, when ICE agents came to his door. And they knocked the door looking for someone else, but he was undocumented. So he was afraid that he might be a target and be put in deportation proceedings. So he had four agents outside of his house waiting and intimidating him, telling him things like, you either come out right now or we'll just wait for you outside. You eventually have to go out. I can help you, you know, landing them false promises, intimidating him to reveal his immigration status. They instilled so much fear in that man that he felt the need to move from his home, to drop everything he had going on with him in Virginia and move outside of the town he lived in. When we see that that our community is being intimidated by the largest enforcement agency, which is DHS, we also feel and understand the fact that our Black brothers and sisters are going through with facing police brutality. So these issues are totally a social justice issue, and we're working together to make sure that our communities feel safe and that they continue to live lives with dignity.
When I spoke to you at the Move to Amend Leadership Summit, we spoke a lot about what your actual day-to-day work entails. And you deal a lot with numbers of people in the deportation process who have been deported. Can you talk more about that?
Every time I get a call from our hotline that we have, and our hotline is, I can provide it so that the listeners can have it and share with people who might need it. It's 844-363-1423. And so this is a volunteer-run hotline where we assist folks who have been victims of rape, have someone in detention or in deportation proceedings. And I'm the one who manages the volunteers and oversees this program, different services. We have had so many reports of rape ever since January, when it was announced that the new priorities program was going to come in effect and that they were going to be actively looking for folks who qualified under this program, priorities enforcement program. So since then, in January, we released a report that you can find on our website, Report on Rates. And there we have 365 reports, which 85 of them were firsthand reports on raids, where folks were being approached by immigration officers in their houses and being taken away very dramatically. And it was a terrorizing experience not only for them, but for the family and the children who are there at 5 a.m. in the morning. Ever since there has been raids happening, right? Raids haven't stopped, but the peak started again at the end of May and June and the month of June. And I've seen a lot of them recently at the beginning of July. These have been targeting folks who have had a conviction according to the PEP program. It doesn't matter how long ago the conviction has been. They are still being raided and looking for, and putting the families in unstable position emotionally and also financially. For example, I can give you there was a case that we received a call from a week and a half ago in California. This father, who has been a legal permanent resident since 1976, and because he had a conviction when he was younger, his house was raided, and he's not being put in deportation proceedings. And so he's the main breadwinner in his family, and now his wife is struggling financially. And on top of that, they need to hire attorneys and obtain legal services for him to be released. But this is the terror that is causing in our community with this deportation machine that we have been experiencing.
What's your general take on the Obama administration's response to immigration issues?
President Obama's administration has definitely been something interesting, right? He is the president that has deported the most people in history, right? He has the highest numbers of deportation. That obviously affects communities, separates families. But at the same time, he ran a campaign on promising immigration reform. And we know that he has a limited power into what he can legislatively do. But yeah, like I said in the past, we saw that as a struggle, and youth and United We Dream made a choice that was for President Obama to be pushed and be demanded to stop the deportation. And that's the way we won DACA in 2012. And that's the way we won DAPA and extension of DACA in 2014. So President Obama continues to deport our families, has been doing the very, very unapologetically this last year, this 2016. I wouldn't be surprised that his numbers at the end of his administration are even higher. He's a little above 2.6 million deportations, and I wouldn't doubt that that number continues on increasing.
Wow. We'll continue this conversation after a quick public service announcement.
Does your elected representative support amending the U.S. Constitution to end corporate constitutional rights and get money out of politics? You can help us find out by joining Move to Amend's Pledge to Amend campaign. Help persuade local, state, and federal legislators to pledge support for our We the People amendment. Recruit co-sponsors for this amendment in the U.S. House and Senate. For more information, visit movetoamend.org/pledge-amend. That's movetoamend.org/pledge-amend.
You can support Move to Amend reports and other Move to Amend programs by joining our $28 for the 28th Amendment monthly sustainer campaign. Pledge $28 a month and help make the We the People Amendment our 28th Amendment to the Constitution. Visit movetoamend.org/donate to sign up.
You are listening to Move to Amend Reports, where we connect the dots between the current issues of our time and the nature of corporate rule. We're talking with Ambar Pinto of United We Dream about the immigrant rights movement, immigration and deportation rates, and its intersections with the democracy movement.
Ambar, United We Dream supports Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, DACA, and Deferred Actions for Parents of Americans and Lawful Permanent Residents, also known as DAPA. Please briefly explain the case that recently ended in a tie in the Supreme Court and left the injunction of the two pieces of legislation in place. And there's a corollary to that as well. I think it actually has different effects in different states. So please proceed.
So yes, like I said, DACA expansion and DAPA, just wanted to make clear, it's three different programs, right? The first one that started, that is DACA, which I'm a beneficiary of. And the second in 2013 was DAPA for parents and DACA expansion. So DACA, original DACA 2012 has not been affected whatsoever. It's still intact. We are going to continue fighting to keep it. But yes, so expansion of DACA and DAPA are the ones that were brought to the Supreme Court, obviously by a lawsuit that Republicans led by Judge Hanen from Texas are the ones who went ahead and said that the president didn't have power to do this and they wanted to do a lawsuit. We knew this was going to happen because they did the same thing with DACA back in 2012. But we weren't expecting that the Supreme Court would fail to decide on this case. They basically said, you know what, we're just going to give it a tie and we'll let everybody else figure it out. So to us, that was a failure on their part of doing their job and deciding in this very important cases. We recently have seen that the Department of Justice has asked for this hearing to be reheard, which we don't know where that leads us. But I do know that this case is still going on. It's not completely lost. It's just put on hold. It's been frozen. So our families cannot be protected at the time, but we will continue to fight for it. Just like we did for DACA, we're going to continue to fight for DAPA, and we're going to continue fighting until everyone in the United States who has an undocumented status is protected from deportation.
Isn't it true that several people came out of the shadows and those people now could possibly be in danger of outing themselves?
Well, this movement has been part of coming out of the shadows and coming out without fear. And it's not to say that we're not as scared at times, because it's a very vulnerable situation where we are, where we're not recognized as citizens and our rights are multiple times violated. I had to come out as an undocumented immigrant. And my parents actually took a stand and came out with me right before the Supreme Court had its hearing. It was a very powerful moment and very important moment in my family. And it took a lot of courage for them to come out and be able to be interviewed at their own home and talk to reporters and folks about their status and how they migrated to the U.S. But that's what our movement has been built on people losing that fear and using that fear as a point of change and as a drive to win, to no longer live in the shadows and to obtain a life with dignity. And that's what we're doing. The fear, regardless whether you come out as undocumented or not, it's always there because you're always at the danger of deportation.
Now, for our white listeners who wish to be good allies in eradicating oppression and often don't speak Spanish, what's the best way to show solidarity and start building the bridges that will force DACA and DAPA into law?
Right. So, first of all, DACA and DAPA are executive actions. They're not law.
Right.
Meaning that regardless what happens, depending what happens on this election, whoever becomes president of the United States, DACA 2012 and DACA and DAPA 2014 are in danger. They could be completely taken away, and then our people no longer have relief from deportation. The most important thing we can all do is to speak out strongly and work tirelessly against the hate in politics today. The hate that is being directed at immigrants and Muslims by some candidates is really about racism, and we all have a role to play in fighting that. It is up to all of us who can vote to vote our conscience. It is up to all of us to speak out against racism in our own communities and even our own families. It is talking about anti-blackness, homophobia, Islamophobia, because we all lose when we're divided, but we all win when we're united. And if you really want to help immigrant youth in this fight, you can visit unitedwedream.org/support and support that way. Right now, over 70 of our leaders with our sister organization, United We Dream Action, are at the Republican National Convention to warn the country of the dangers of a Trump presidency and to train the local immigrant community on how they can protect themselves from deportation.
You know, when you were speaking, I identified some of my own white privilege as a social change agent, an agent for justice and democracy in the U.S., and that is what motivates me into activism and advocacy is anger. I'm not afraid. I'm really, really angry. And in your case, it sounds like that fear is that motivating factor that drives people into this kind of advocacy. And that to me is a crying shame that, because I'm sure anger is part of it too, that fear is the dominating motive that, you know, people are walking around in this country afraid basically for their lives. So thank you for sharing that with us, Ambar.
No problem. And that's what it is, right? It's a survival mode. We either stay quiet or we survive. And I think our community chooses to survive.
Well, you mentioned this before too, that the Black community is, that you share similarities with the Black community, which is very much affected by inequities in U.S. institutions. And one big problem is the school to prison pipeline, which is only getting worse as more prisons become privatized. Black and Latina without U.S. documentation possess decreased educational opportunities and complete deportation after incarceration. Although these are two very different cultures and experiences, both share similar oppressions, which might explain why United We Dream and Black Lives Matter are working to build a mutually beneficial relationship. Can you identify some of the intersections between these two communities and your best practices for building solidarity?
Yes, definitely. So yes, United We Dream and affiliates stand with the Movement for Black Lives. As I mentioned before, we are both targeted by an enforcement agency, right? The Black community is targeted by police, and they are victims of police brutality. And as this undocumented immigrant, we are targeted by immigration, by ICE, and we are looked for and raided to be deported. Within our own community, we have undocumented folks who are Black, right? We have people who have to face these two issues, right? The fact of your color of skin can mean a threat to society, and therefore a police officer overly uses force. And the fact that then you are put in deportation proceedings and deported to, most of the time, a place you can't even remember and that you're not familiar with. And so what our leaders as United We Dream have decided and committed to doing is to having conversations of anti-Blackness within our own families, our close network, to really dig down and get to understand and have these conversations that are often uncomfortable for someone who is not part of a Black community, and to really get our parents and our loved ones to understand what is happening and to take a step back, right, and realize that, make that connection that many of us don't make, that we are both targets of an oppressive government, that it's funding enforcement agencies to criminalize us and to deport us. That's how we go ahead and show commitment. We make sure that we are uplifting. We are talking to our partners into seeing how United We Dream can be a support and to make sure that their voices, the voices of our Black and Brown sisters, are uplifted throughout the work we do, and that in within our own work, when we talk about enforcement, when we talk about immigrant rights, we're also talking in a way that we don't undermine any other community who's a minority community. And this is not only with Black lives, but also with our Muslim community.
Elsa LePew, who was with us last week and was on the same panel that you shared at our leadership summit last May, also works on the LGBTQ front. And you mentioned QIP. And how is the bridge building going on between the larger LGBTQ community and the ones that exist within your own community?
Yes, that's a good question, and thank you for that. Our program QIP is led by folks from the LGBTQ community, and they make sure that whenever we speak, we are, or whenever we're in spaces, that there's also spaces where LGBTQ folks are represented, and that we are very aware of our privilege, and we don't make assumptions. So whenever a culture that is very beautiful about United We Dream is that whenever we are in a space, we always show our pronouns because we don't make assumptions. We also make sure that whenever we speak, we don't speak in a certain gender, that we use an X instead, so Latinx, to make sure that our LGBTQ communities included. We have been doing for a long time, and at our organization, I believe, the leadership of United We Dream is by women and by LGBTQ queer folks, and it's going to continue to be that way. But it does the work not only within the undocumented immigrants, but also other groups, like I said in the past.
And I'm thinking that your organization's name is a very appropriate one for the different issues that your community is struggling with. So great news.
Thank you.
Now, throughout time, the few with wealth and property have created scapegoats out of entire peoples and cultures to scare the masses into fighting against each other instead of acting together for their own best interests. The U.S. Constitution from day one has furthered the interests of property owners over those of we the people, who at the time of the Constitution, of course, were only property-owning rich white men. Our mission is to create a foundation for a transformative democracy which elevates human beings of every persuasion over property. We believe that begins with passage of the We the People Amendment. You deal directly with failings of the Constitution and the fallout of its flaws on a day-to-day basis. So, what are the intersections you see between Move to Amend and United We Dream?
I believe Move to Amend is it's fighting for the liberation of all humans, right? That our lives should be valued higher than any material, and in this case, property. United We Dream is fighting for the liberation of all people of color and poor people, right? So it's the liberation of humans, right? That humans are treated with dignity, with respect, and that humans are not living in fear just because an oppressive law or an oppressive constitution was put in place. I believe that your liberation is bound with my liberation and with the liberation of other minority communities and other communities. And that is the work that we are doing together. And I believe that as long as you and I are fighting for human rights, I think we're on the same fight.
Excellent.
Beautiful.
Now, we are almost out of time. So what final comments would you like to leave with our listeners? And please let folks know how they can get involved with United We Dream and the We Can't Wait campaign.
Absolutely. So just whenever we're speaking about issues or about how laws are oppressive, to also keep in mind to use proper language when we talk about this. We've heard many politicians following the lead of President Obama, of his famous quote that said, "We will deport felons, not families, criminals, not children." But then a lot of people forget that folks who have a criminal conviction, for whatever reason it might be, they are family. And they're someone's daughter or son. They're someone's father or mother, brother or sister. And that they also do deserve to be protected and to be treated with respect. We know that our criminal justice system is created to oppress people of color and poor people. Then why are we further criminalizing folks who have been victims of this system that is broken and needs to be reformed? So to make sure that we stay away from those narratives, to continue criminalizing immigrants, and stop using the terms or calling out folks from using those terms of they didn't obey the law, they should be punished, right? Because we know that the law and the history that of this country that it shows that is being created to marginalize and exclude certain types of people. And that not because it's law, it means that it's morally right. And we need to stand up for what's morally right and human to do to make sure we fight for the human rights of everyone. And a way that you can join United We Dream is by going to our website. You can go ahead and sign up for our newsletter. Be on top of what you can be and get involved in the things that interest you, whether it's fighting for tuition equity for all undocumented youth, or stopping deportations for deportation offense, or providing assistance and support to our poor community through QIP, or making sure that we have enough. We continue to fight it with the WEEK campaign and Oh the Dream to make sure that's possible.
Excellent. Look, Amber Pinto, it's been our pleasure to have you with us today. Thank you for being here, and thank you for all the work that you're doing. As a young activist, I can tell you, you have a lot of work ahead of you, but I think the work is in good hands.
No, thank you very much. It has been an honor to be with you too here today, and thank you for providing this space.
Well, I second what Egberto said. It was wonderful hearing you again and having you on our podcast. You have represented your cause well. And I want to remind our listeners, visit the website. It's unitedwedream.org. Very easy to remember. Thanks again, Ambar. And we hope to be hearing from you soon.
Are you part of a faith or ethical community whose values and principles are being violated by corporate actions? We the people of the Move to Amend Interfaith Caucus share in common a variety of values and principles. In this unity, we find the short-sighted and single-minded drive for profits by certain corporations has led to the degradation of the environment and our society. Corporate power has come to dominate our existence, with the values and principles we all hold dear being routinely violated by powerful corporations using their so-called personhood to influence elections, legislation, regulations, and judicial outcomes in their favor and at our expense. It is the purpose of the Interfaith Caucus to engage faith and ethical communities and educate about how the work of ending corporate rule can be approached from a spiritual, ethical, or religious perspective. Working together at national, state, local, and faith community levels, we can pass the We the People Amendment. Join us on our monthly calls the third Wednesday of each month at 12 noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. Visit movetoamend.org/interfaith-caucus for more information.
Tune in next week when we talk with Brandon King of Corporation Jackson, based in Mississippi, about the struggle to build economic democracy and countering the surge of racism stemming from what is coming to be known as the Confederate Spring. Join us.
And that's it for this edition of Move to Amend Reports. Thanks for listening and have a great week.